The grace of God in Christ brought salvation through the word that we believed, and the grace of God in Christ brings us the ability to be sanctified through the word in Christ. We don't have to do it. We don't have the power to do it, but we have the power to choose Christ instead of sin.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, I think it's safe to say that most people want to be godly. And if you're saved, the idea that you can walk in godliness is something that most people aspire to.
You know, Dave, I'd agree with that, but with one change. You see, I think people want to be godly, but often they want to do it on their own terms. They want to do things in a way that works for them. But you see, Scripture declares the way that we should be walking and how we should be living. And so that leads to the question, why are there so few actually living godly lives who claim to follow Christ? Let's find out. Our text is Titus chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 12.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
To deny things that have no worship, no reverence, no veneration, obviously for the object is God. Literally, it speaks of without worship, without veneration. The word in context, I believe, speaks of a lack of fear and reverence for God. God is training us, as we will see, to not do anything that arises out of a lack of fear and reverence for God. Well, we do a lot at times out of a lack of fear and reverence for God, don't we? We tend to point at a lot of ungodly behaviors, but a lot of our thoughts at times are very ungodly, if we're honest with ourselves. Obviously, our English word carries this sense, ungodliness, ungodly deeds, which those are done with a sense of a lack of fear of God, a fear of His just recompense, or a fear of grieving Him, or a fear of bringing shame upon His name. Indeed, ungodliness characterizes the unsaved. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against, here it is, asebia, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Later on, Romans chapter 3, Paul sums up the case against all of us. As it is written, there are none righteous, verse 10, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. All have turned aside. They have all become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Then verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Every action is ungodly because there is no fear of God before their eyes. And Christ, through His grace, is teaching us now not to live that way. That's the way we used to live in futility. And God's plan is for us not to live that way. Romans chapter 11, verse 26, speaking of the salvation of Israel, and thus all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. What's He going to do? And will remove all ungodliness from Jacob. Paul uses this word in 2 Timothy 2:16 and in Jude twice to speak of those who distort the word. They're ungodly. They profess to know God, but they're ungodly. Their deeds come from a lack of fear and reverence for God. How could someone preach a false gospel? How could someone do such an incredibly horrible thing with such eternal consequences? They have no fear of God. They're ungodly. But folks, it's written to us, and we are all tempted to be ungodly. And we've probably been ungodly today many times. And God's plan for the believer is to instruct us to say no to ungodliness. No. So then the grace of God in Christ is teaching us, instructing us to say no to actions carried out without a fear and reverence to God. It doesn't matter what it is. That's why He says ungodly. He doesn't give a list of sins. Ungodliness, actions carried out without a fear and reverence for God. Now, if you are an unbeliever in the Lord, you do everything out of ungodliness because there is no fear of God before your eyes, as I've shared before, and you need to repent before the Lord of your sin before it's too late. Before it's too late, because you will be terrified and tremble with fear when you stand before Him if you do not repent. And for the believer, we need to remember the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. We are to say no by the power of the Holy Spirit through the person of Christ to those actions that arise out of a lack of fear and reverence for God. Isn't that what Peter tells the believers in Asia Minor? 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's flip over there a little bit to 1 Peter 1 and we'll read this together. We're going to look at verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now see, God doesn't tell you non-believers to clean up your act. He says, admit you're sinful and believe in the Savior. But to believers who are saved, He then can command us to be holy because He's holy, because He enables us in Christ to deny these things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, notice this idea of children. We're children in Christ. We're being trained. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, this is because God says this, you shall be holy for I am holy. And then He says, and if you address as the Father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, if you recognize He's the judge, you do, He says, conduct yourselves in fear during your time stay on the earth. That's a godliness. That's a fear and a reverence for God in your actions, right? Let your conduct be exemplified by that. Why? During your time stay on the earth, knowing that you were not redeemed from perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, training us, teaching us to what? To deny, to say no to ungodliness, those things that arise out of a lack of fear and reverence for God. Ungodliness, a whole slew of possible illustrations of ungodliness, right? Just about covers almost everything. Do you want to know what Christ is doing right now in His church, what His plan is for His church? It is to instruct us first to deny ungodliness, that we would live righteously, right? Okay, so how does Christ instruct us? How does the grace of God instruct us? It is through the Word of God, the Word of Christ, that He uses to train us. It's not out of some generic feeling we get that God instructs us. It's not that we come to Christ by faith, believing the written word, the gospel, and then we're off on our own and we just kind of feel that that's good and that's bad and we kind of feel that we should do that or not do that. It is God through His word that performs His work in us. It is Christ through His word by His grace instructing us. The psalmist says it this way, Psalm 119:38, establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. That's the opposite of ungodliness. It's a godliness. My behavior is based on a fear of the living God in the context of a right relationship with Him enabling me to do the right thing, as we will see. What did David say in Psalm 34 about the fear of the Lord? He said, I'll instruct you in that. First he says, Psalm 34 verse 8, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. And oh, the Lord is so good. He gave Himself for us. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be any want of any good thing. Come, you children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves lengths of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We could see it here. Christ is instructing us to deny ungodliness and live righteously. Same thing. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Do you claim to be a Christian? Is Jesus your Lord? He is Lord, but is He your Lord? Do you fear God in your actions? Do you fear Him? Not people. Do you fear God when you decide to get angry at somebody? Do you fear God when you worry rather than pray? Do you fear God when you step out and make decisions in your life apart from God? Do you fear God? If you don't, you need to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. But those of us who do trust the Lord, we struggle with it. We all know we do, right? But we have a desire. We want to fear the Lord. We want to trust Him. And God is a gracious God to instruct us in Christ to deny those things. That's the first thing. That's what the grace of God is doing, instructing us to deny ungodliness. Well, what do we see secondly? Secondly, we see here to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. So ungodliness has to do with really a lack of fear and reverence for the Lord. Just actions could be a myriad of them. Here now we see He is instructing us also to deny worldly desires. Well, what are worldly desires? What things should we be saying no to by the power of the Holy Spirit in a context of a relationship with Christ? What are worldly desires? Pretty simply, worldly desires are the desires that the world lives by, right? Worldly desires are how the world, the system of man apart from God, lives by. Desires to make sure one is safe, make sure one is taken care of, one is secure. We have those desires too, but the world seeks these things. We see this as Jesus says, don't seek those things, seek first His kingdom. Desires to make sure that one's appetites are fulfilled. Desires that are centered around me. That's how the world functions. The world is the system of unsaved man which operates apart from Christ under the wicked sovereignty of Satan being the ruler of this world. We see worldly desires laid forth in 1 John 2. And let's flip over there and look at that. And we'll see specifically what worldly desires are in Scripture. Now again, I'll clarify myself. I'm not saying we can't seek to make sure we're secure, but our security comes in Christ, not through our own ability to make it happen. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's just a fact. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. Worldly desires, same word. Worldly lusts, worldly desires. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Basically, you have worldly desires and the will of God. You have what God says in His Word concerning you, or you have what you desire and think concerning yourself. The lust of the flesh. Speaking of those desires that originate from our unredeemed flesh. Apart from God. The lust of the eyes, those desires which originate from our evaluation. What we see rather than what God has said. Those things which are not of faith. And the boastful pride of life, the core of unredeemed man's sinfulness, self-elevation, which ultimately de-elevates God in our own eyes, which is in opposition and hostile to God. The lust of the eyes, desires of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. God in Christ is instructing us now. That's His plan, to say no to these things. We're tempted with them. We're all tempted all the time with these things. But His plan in Christ is to instruct us, to teach us, to train us, to discipline us, to say no. So then, for true believers, having been redeemed by the grace of God, we now see what God is doing in our lives through Christ. He's instructing us to say no to worldly desires, simply our will apart from Christ. If you want to sum up worldly desires, it is our will apart from Christ. Our desires, the word desire and will, same thing. Worldly will, worldly desires, it's our will. But we see perfectly in Jesus as he shared, "Not my will, but thy will be done." That is the denial of worldly desires. Not that he was worldly, not that he was sinful, but we see ultimately it is either our will, our sinful will, or his will as revealed in his word. And folks, oh, how the church has strayed so far from the basics of the Christian life. The word of God working in the life of a believer so that they can say no. So far. And all of us, as we see, God uses his word in the renewal of the mind to change our will by his grace. We're all pretty familiar with this passage. Maybe some of you aren't. Romans 12:2, the application of the gospel. Romans 12:1, we offer ourselves up acceptable. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape you by default, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is. Rather than my will being proved because I'm conformed to the world, God's will is demonstrated and proved because my mind is renewed in his word. That's the way God does it. Let me ask you this. By what will do you function? How do you make your decisions every day? Just basic decisions. Is it by your own wisdom? By your own observation? By your own insight? Or is it in total, complete dependence of the Lord based on his word? How do you function? I'll tell you right now, if you've always functioned by your own desires, never in your heart of hearts saying, not my will, but thy will, that battle we have saying no to those things and yes to what God says through his word, you need to examine yourself. Because that's the way that non-believers function. That's the way we functioned before Christ. That's the way we're tempted to function now. But for those of us who are truly saved, God's plan for us is to learn how to say no, to be instructed how to say no. It's pretty simple. One element of what God is doing in the life of the believer through Christ by his grace is this saying no. We can forget the Christian projects and programs and myriad of books. What Christ is doing is setting us apart from sin, our own self and will, changing us by his grace to do what his will is. So then the grace of God in the person of Christ has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to say no, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to say no to living without fear and reverence to God, to say no to functioning within our own will and desires, and thus that we might live righteously. This is what God is doing in us, and he does it through his word. Now I need to remind you, as I've just mentioned, not to run out and start a new program, the no-sayers. We are the no-sayers. We must say no and go out and try and say no in our own strength to everything. That's where we fall short. We need to understand the grace of God in Christ brought salvation through the word that we believed, and the grace of God in Christ brings us the ability to be sanctified through the word in Christ. We don't have to do it. We don't have the power to do it, but we have the power to choose Christ instead of sin. Romans chapter 6, and I'll read this for you. Because of what's happened in Christ, he says, Romans 6:11, even so, consider yourselves dead to sin. You can say no to it. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. And do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. You know, sin will no longer be master over you. You don't have to present yourself anymore now that you're in Christ. You could say no and present yourself to Christ. Only Christ can deliver you from sin, brothers and sisters, and he will. Say no and then yes to him. He's faithful. Don't let Satan deceive you with your own feelings of inadequacy to get out of sin unless you're not saved. Yes, you cannot deliver yourself from sin. That's why you feel inadequate. And Satan capitalizes on that and gets us self-focused. But realize that Christ is adequate. It is by his grace and his mercy, empowered by his word, you are to say no, and he is instructing us now to do that. For the true believer, it is a lie from the pit of hell that you can't get free of sin. In Christ, we are freed from sin. The truth will set you free in Christ. You don't have to go there. We can say no. God is instructing us through His Word to say no. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under no obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. We're not obligated anymore if you're a true believer. For if you are living by the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. This putting to death, saying, no, I don't need to think this way anymore. No, it's not true. It's not right. I renew my mind with the Word of God. This is the truth. This is what God wants me to do, and I trust Him to do it through me. God uses His Word to instruct us, teach us, train us, to say no, to educate us. It's His Word at work in us. Brother and sister, when you think of God's plan of salvation, do you see it right now as Him instructing you through His Word to say no? Do you see? That's what God is doing. That's what God's doing in this body through His Word, by the power of His Spirit, by His grace. He's teaching, training, educating us as a body to say no to ungodliness and worldly desires, that we might live righteously and upright, ultimately in Christ. So how can we walk in godliness? We need to realize the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, and that same grace is in Christ, is instructing us right now. That's what God's doing. For some of you today, every action you've made and make is out of a lack of fear of God or worship. You don't live your life fearing God at all. You may fear people. Maybe that's why you're here. You fear people. But you don't fear God. You don't fear His wrath. You don't fear His disapproval. You don't fear Him. You don't reverence Him. Every decision you make is by your own will. You cannot be godly because you do not have Christ. You don't have the power to do it. You need Christ. You need to be saved. And God's grace, God's saving grace, has appeared in Christ, bringing salvation. Repent of your sin before the Lord. Trust in Christ. He bore your sin. He's a faithful Savior. He will save you. Cry out to Him to save you, and He will save you. What about those of us who are believers? Don't forget His grace has appeared. Don't forget we were saved by His grace through His Word. We're saved by Christ. But that same grace in Christ through His Word is working in us right now. Don't forget that. That's what God's doing. And the first part before we can live righteously is to say no and deny ungodliness and worldly desires, that we might live righteously, right?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments that we have left, it would seem that godliness is rather sporadic. Is it really possible to consistently walk in the truth?
You know, Dave, for all who name the name of Christ, walking in godliness is what we are to be doing. It's not to be a weekend thing or just a Sunday activity, because we have a relationship with the living God, and thus godliness is an everyday expectation for the rest of our lives until we're in the presence of the living God. So the real question is, how can we do that? Well, as we've seen, we need to allow God through His Word to conform us to the image of Christ, and it's by His power alone. He is a good God. Commit to abiding in Him, trusting in Him, confessing sin, and renewing your mind with His Word, and He will bear His character in your life. And that is what true godliness is.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.